and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday from Saratoga. Again, it's a beautiful day. If you're undecided, make a decision. Come on up and enjoy a great day of horse racing up here, highlighted by the Jockey Club Gold Cup, but some other stakes on the card as well. Really nice day as we wind up. 3 days left, so make the most of it. Plan to come up one of the days at least, but as I say, today, a very nice day up here at Saratoga. Coming up in an abbreviated edition, because there's an early post time today. Don't forget, 12:05 today, and also make a note that tomorrow and Monday, 12:35. Sunday and Monday, 12:35, 12:05, first post today. But that means an early kickoff to Talking Horses, and so we'll get off at about 10:30 today so we can pick up Talking Horses with Serling and Stabile. I say Serling and Stabile. I think it's Serling and Andy Beyer today. So special guest over there on Talking Horses on Jockey Club Gold Cup Day. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Tim Wilkin. Always like to get Tim over here. We'll get his thoughts on the meet so far and more. But another guest we always like to have swing by during the summer, and so had to get him here before the meet wound up. Our friend Peter Thomas Fornatow from the End of the Money Media Empire and beyond. And we were kind of laughing because, Pete, we've been hearing you the whole meet. Yeah, you got the podcast from the Brentwood across the street. We wind up on Saturdays just about the time you kick off, so we're happy to have you in here before you head across the street.
It's great to be here. We're keeping the streak alive. We've done this a number of, even during the pandemic, I think we got a day in. So glad we snuck it in here under the wire, as it were. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun doing the shows across the street at the Brentwood. Have a number of guests. We've got Acacia, Courtney Clement today, and an array of folks, and we have a lot of fun getting a chance to meet a lot of listeners and viewers and hang out a little bit. And it's a cool little bar over there. But I'll tell Marcus to turn the speakers down.
We enjoy the show over here. I mean, like I say, we're wrapped up, so we pull up some lawn chairs and just. I will ask, if people are right in the Saratoga area, can they come over and enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, we're going early. You got to get a move on. But yeah, we start today's show will be 10:30. You can also listen streaming. Of course, you can do the double screen experience, keeping the channel on and having that in the background. Today, though, I tell you, I wouldn't want to miss Andy Beyer on Talking Horses. Yeah, yeah. That's another tradition that did miss a year or two. But glad to see he's back in the fold. Hopefully, I'll run into him in the press box and get to hear his dulcet tones. I can tell him my pick of the day, and he can say, "No shot."
He was up in the press box the other day. It's good to see Andy back in town. Well, we've kind of alluded to it, so just fill us in now. When you sat down, I asked you what's coming up within the media. Just give us the general outline, because it's a great resource for horse players. If folks aren't familiar yet, lay out what In the Money produces and where people can find it. And when you sat down, you said with Kentucky Downs, and people excited about that, and the ginormous purses, you're doing some daily coverage at Kentucky Downs.
Indeed. We have written coverage on InTheMoneyPodcast.com. We also have, for Kentucky Downs, daily podcasts. So we'll do seven up. Two are in the books already. We did a meet preview and an opening day show. But we've got coverage up there now. And tomorrow we've got Pat Cummings and Larry Colmus going to be joining us. And then I'll find guests for four more days. But that's basically the idea, is we're a podcast-driven media network. Lots of daily coverage that's free on InTheMoneyPodcast.com as well in a written format. But mainly we're all about the pods. And we've got a bunch of different shows on the network. International coverage with Nick Luck Daily and Acacia covering the bloodstock scene on her In the Ring show. but I mean every corner of the industry, harness racing, we've got it all. If you're interested in racing, check it out. And if you're a podcast person, please subscribe wherever you get your shows, In the Money Media.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch you guys kind of grow. And with really the whole podcast growth over the past couple of years, it has taken off. But you guys were ahead of the curve there over at the DRF. You were doing it, and then you morphed over onto your own side. And now you've added in, you know, racing, breeding, the ownership side of the game. So, again, highly recommended swing by the In the Money website and check it out and pull up the podcast wherever. And also have to ask because – you won the Eclipse, and we've had you on the show kind of touting how much fun that was to see you win the Eclipse. But that was part of the work you're doing over in the UK. Talk a little bit about that side of things.
Sure. I am a writer on a weekly basis for attheraces.com, covering American stuff, and pretty much on a weekly basis as well, though I'm on twice this weekend. I cover American racing for Sky Sports Racing. So the other day I was on the roof at Saratoga with the trusty computer, and we're broadcasting and just giving that perspective. I've spent so much time over there and follow their racing closely enough, I feel like I'm bilingual when it comes, you know, the way that we talk about racing, some of the jargon doesn't always translate. So they like having somebody with the right accent, but who can talk about racing their way. So it's kind of fun, you know, a little bit more form focused. But of course I bring a lot of our American stuff into it. I just try to spell it out in a way they can understand.
Yeah. That I hadn't even thought about that, but it is, it's not a foreign language, but I know, like, the car trunk is the boot over there. So yes. even I also can translate a little
Divided by a common language, yeah. As we like to say on the show.
Talk a little bit about the meet so far and your impressions. You know, I think people have complained some of the stakes races, small fields, but I will say, even those races, we have seen quality runners who will play into the Breeders' Cup and I think play into Eclipse Awards. As we, you know, get into the end of the year and beyond. But last weekend, certainly, Epicenter and Cody's Wish and the little bit of an upset with the good story behind Cody's Wish. I think it's overall, the racing has been just fabulous.
Yeah, last weekend for me was really great and took it to another level. I might have had some of those complaints, and I still do think they got to look at what they're doing with some of these overnight stakes here that are drawing horses from the featured races of the meet. But, you know, that's something that can be addressed in time and tweaked. And Naira have done a good job the last 2 years listening to feedback and making things better, and I think that's going to continue to happen. But to have Travers Day and to have a Travers winner like Epicenter to put on a performance like that, that was special to me. Yeah. And I think these are horses that are going to go and have a big impact at the Breeders' Cup, no matter what happens in California tonight.
Yeah. I mean, he put up the 112 buyer, which, again, established him where a lot of people thought he was even earlier in the year with the second place finish in the Triple Crown, established him back in the top of the three-year-old class. But with that number, the older horses now have to maybe take an extra look at him as well. All right, whenever we have you in, we also like to do a little handicapping. You've taken a look at a couple of races today, and we're going to take a look at two races that are going to kick off the Pick 6. And with the 13 race card, Pick 6 starts in race 8. So gear up for that one with Maiden Special. Two-year-olds going 7 furlongs. I went out to Croupy, and I said I pulled up the replay. I didn't find the trouble line as bad as maybe it looks when it hit gate and whatnot. There was trouble out, and he went back to the back of the pack, which led to a freight train of a move in the stretch. So I tilted towards Croupy, but what are your thoughts on the 8?
I like that horse, too, but it's not one of the ones I want to talk about. I totally get Croupy.
Yeah.
But Rocket Can was really the horse that I wanted to focus on in here. I'm going to probably play a double connecting races 8 and 9 in addition to whatever I do in the Pick 6. And Rocket Can was another one watching the tape. You could sort of see the light bulb go on halfway through the race. And this was a horse that did not break well. Bill Mott, he can certainly win with first-time starters. We see that. But you look at his career marks, he goes from something like 8% winners first out to 16% second up. The way this horse ran, that stat just suggests to me that this is a horse that has to get better. And I think that race is going to prove to be a key form line. If there was future betting for the Kentucky Derby, Disarm, the winner of that race, would be among the favorites. I think that's good form. I want to use Rocket Can. I will definitely be backing up with his stablemate, Arthur's Ride, who beat him there, though I did think it was notable. Rocket Can was bet down below him, and then with that tardy break, I'm thinking Rocket Can is going to get the measure of the stablemate today. And then I'm very interested in W. Nell as a firster to keep on side in my doubles. Good Magic off to a great start. And that's a very productive female family, 6 winners, including a 2-year-old stakes winner. So those were the 3 I was going to use in race 8 with a focus on Rocket Can. I may throw in your Croupy as well.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting race, and you have some prices in there that are a little bit intriguing. The ninth race, if you're going to play a little double, ninth race, optional claimer, non-winners of two, 8.5 furlongs on the turf. I went by with Analyze It, but I will say I have all kinds of question marks. Only one start so far this year and has to answer that, but I tilted in that direction. I thought Eyes on Target a little bit intriguing. Munition was a price that I'm going to throw in the mix as well, but what did you see in the ninth?
I was interested in Graded on a Curve, the other Chad Brown runner, the five runner. I just thought that was a very difficult trip at Belmont, but what I really like about this horse is the trip that I see him getting. You know, coming out of that race last time, all kinds of trouble in a merry-go-round, 1-2-3 early or 1-2-3 late. And now, if you key off that run two back, I think he's going to be positioned to strike and just get a really nice opportunity to attack on the turn and go on with it in this race that has plenty of pace. I'll also use Sanctuary City, the forerunner, just a very consistent horse. This is another case of the form of the last race looking pretty good with Soldier Rising coming back to run third in the Grade One last weekend. So, I mean, I respect your runners. It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to try to get out 4 or 5. I think that might be where the value is in race 9. We'll see.
Okay, before we let you go, I just wanted some thoughts on the Jockey Club itself. I'm going to go back to Olympiad. The Foster was so good, but American Revolution rebounded nicely in the Foster. First Captain is working well. Dynamic One, I think, coming out of both that one and First Captain coming out of the Suburban are intriguing. What do you see in the Jockey Club?
It's an exciting race. I'm with you. I'll row in with you with Olympiad. I'm just going to give an excuse to the last run. I think he got a little bit horrified by the early pace of Life is Good, and I don't think the pace figures there were reflective of how fast that pace was, because the track, I think, had really changed. It took a lot of open water. The track was open when that pop-up storm came, and then it was only sealed and harrowed after. I just think he hated it. I think he's another one who's going to get a much better situation this time around. I think he'll be able to be on or near a lead that with not that fast a pace. Those were situations under which he was fairly dominant earlier in the year. Let's see if Olympiad is who we thought he was.
Yeah, and we just looked at the Foster there with Olympiad and American Revolution running 1-2, and I'm looking for him to rebound to that effort this afternoon. Just before we let you go, also thoughts on Flightline this afternoon?
I mean, I can't wait to see it. Yeah. It's appointment stuff. Set your alarm, 8:45, if you want to watch him go down to post Eastern. I think he's going to put on a show. I mean, this is a horse who showed so
Freak.
Much. Yeah, he's tough. He's not just, as they say in the UK, a flat-track bully who has such brilliance but needs everything to go his way. He showed in the Met that that's not the case. And this is a horse who, you know, I think he's always been a fast worker. I like the way he's looked a lot more in the recent works. I think he's actually getting better.
Yeah, the reports have been very good.
Yeah, I mean, look, he doesn't have to win. There's not much equity in coming on here and telling people that this 1-9 shot isn't going to lose. But this 1-9 shot isn't going to lose.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun to see him this afternoon. Capper to a really great day, great racing here. And then you can head to your favorite watering hole and maybe get them to set the channel or go home and watch, as you say, 8:45, 8:50 tonight, Pacific Classic as well. Pete, appreciate the visit. Again, we'll tell people to go to the In the Money Media website, and you can check out all the various podcasts that are available, but we appreciate the visit. We'll send you across the street now to Brentwood.
Cheers, my friend. Always good catching up.
Peter Thomas for Natal. We'll take a break. When we come back, our friend Tim Wilkin is in the house. We'll get some thoughts on the meet from Tim and more right after this. Stay tuned.
For 4 generations and looking forward to a 5th, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott Vartley and I'm here at the West Condominiums in Saratoga Springs, And guess what? We are down to the home stretch. Everything is two bedrooms and two baths. Come make a selection in one of the greatest condos ever to be built in Saratoga Springs. We're starting in the upper fives and the only rooftop penthouse available now under construction. Wow, just look at this patio. We have a rooftop pool, heated garage, balconies, and a gym. Call me at 518-281-6808.
Head on or off?
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. As promised before the break, happy to be joined now by our friend Tim Wilkin. Always get him in before the end of the meet. And this year, Saturday, Jockey Club Day, a little conversation with Tim, who the longtime racing writer for the Times Union, but now a little blood horse, a little horse racing nation. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. I entered the transfer portal this year and did something new.
It's working out. Although that said, whenever we've had you in here in the past, we've talked about early mornings and late evenings. I'm typically up in the press box because I have to send out a rundown for the show, and I'm in there later than a lot of the guys, but I would typically, I would almost virtually always leave before you did because you were pretty much the last guy out of the press box. You've left up before me a couple days this year, though, so maybe a little bit of a break. I would still say most days you're still there when I'm there.
Some days I get cheap speed and I get out of there. But, yeah, it's been a different vibe with doing this kind of gig as opposed to when I was at the Times Union, which, you know, I had a great run there for 30-some-odd years. When you do the handicapping, the writing, social media, it's a lot of work, but, you know, I wouldn't have traded it for anything for all those years I did it with the Times Union. And, you know, but it's good now to still have my hand in it. And, heck, on Wednesday, I'm getting on a plane going to Kentucky Downs.
You're going to be joining Jenny Reese and the publicity team down there, right?
Yeah, I'll be there for the last 4 days of their meet. Three of the 4 days of the meet. It'll be interesting because I've heard from what people like Dale Romans have told me, Kentucky Downs is a whole different animal. Yeah. I mean, it's like in the middle of a field. That's all it is. And there's like one set of bleachers. Some people liken it to like the Fair Hill with the jumping days where everyone just kind of hangs out. And I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And, you know, the purse structure down there is phenomenal.
Yeah. 150 for maiden specials.
I mean, like Billy Mott says, you know, you finish second in one of those $200,000 meets. It's worth the trip. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. No, it should be fun. I'm envious. I'd love to get down there just to see the different situation and whatnot. Let's hit on the meet so far. And I mentioned with Pete, the Traverse last week in Epicenter. We have the stretch run here to the Traverse, a 112 buyer figure. Cyberknife third, Cyberknife second, Zandon third. And Rich Strike, you helped me get Eric Reed in here last weekend. And fun talking to him, the Kentucky Derby winner. I thought the fourth from Rich Strike was a nice performance.
You know, it was. I mean, he ran a solid fourth, which, you know, a lot of people were just saying he was a one-hit wonder. He would never do anything again after the Derby. And then after the Belmont, you know, they're saying, well, we told you so. But, you know, that horse, he ran a great race. He was not that far from finishing second. Yeah. And, you're not going to say that Rich Strike is, you know, one of the top three-year-olds in the country, but he validated that Derby, and he's a solid racehorse, and his next stop, wherever that may be, you know, I think he's going to be a factor in these races. I don't know if he's going to win, but he's going to be a factor.
No, it's certainly, again, kind of validated that he's got maybe a little more talent than, and I was kind of in the boat. So the second place finish, it was fun to see, because as I say, Eric was in here the other day, you know, see the little guys get it done is kind of intriguing, certainly. But Epicenter with the 112 established himself back at the top of the class. There's no doubt about
There's no question. No question. He's the top 3-year-old in the country. And, you know, before it's done, he might be the top horse in the country.
Yeah.
Although he'd have a few mountains to climb that.
We'll get a little better idea what that might entail later today here and out on the West Coast. But that 112 certainly puts him in the conversation. Also, last week, Malathat, who rebounded nicely and kind of, you know, as expected in that Todd Pletcher had said, the race earlier in the meet, it was affected by the heat and that we did have the crazy heat early in the meet. Jack Christopher got back on track after the you know, the kind of dud in the Haskell and Cody's wish over Jackie's Warrior. You know, Jackie's Warrior, I think the connections came out of it thinking, you know, we ran second, but we're okay and we're moving on. But Cody's wish was a nice story there, too.
It was a real nice story. And, you know, Jackie's Warrior is still the best sprinter in the country. I don't think there's anyone that's going to dispute that. I mean, he ran a great race. You know, the Cody's Wish from Billy Motts, you know, this is just the backstory of that kid that the horse is named for. I'm not sure what the ailment is, but it's something that he doesn't communicate that well. But when this horse runs, he does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very heartwarming. It's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
And the fact that this horse is he has a bond with this kid is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's just a phenomenal story.
Yeah, put a nice little exclamation point, a nice little side story on things. Talk about the meet overall. And when you sat down, you said you may have some meet awards, MVP and whatnot. So talk about the meet overall.
You know, if I was going to give a most valuable player for a horse, I mean, I think it's a very close race between two horses. I would say Epicenter, obviously.
Jim Dandy and the Travers.
But Nest, you know,
the
Coaching Club Oaks and the Alabama, and, you know, just the dominance she had in that division, both those races. I think, you know, if someone were to put a gun to my head, which one would you pick? I'd probably say Epicenter because, you know, he just vaulted into the chair as the top 3-year-old in the country. But Nest, you know, it makes you wonder now if they decided to run in the Travers rather than the Alabama, what might have happened.
Yeah.
You know, that's speculation forever. But Nest obviously would be a second as my MVP. As far as the MVP for the human side, there's a couple of places you can go with that. Todd Pletcher, he got the 2 4 grade ones. He had the 2 with Nest. He had Life is Good to Whitney, and he had Malthat with a Personal Ensign. You know, he might get another one today.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got four chances with it. But, I mean, Joel Rosario, the jockey, won 12 stakes races here. That's a record here. I think Javier Castellano and Johnny V had 11. But, you know, he's had a phenomenal meet. And, you know, Irad. I mean, it's, it's what have you done for me lately? I do it every year, it seems, that Irad does that. And, you know, he's still on the top of the heap. And he's just coming off a 3-day suspension, and no one really put a dent into his lead.
Yeah.
So, you know, pick any of those three. And I think I'm going with Todd because that was, you know, winning 4 grade ones at Saratoga.
Yeah,
winning 1
grade
one at Saratoga is tough.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
It's been just a phenomenal meet.
I'll toss out some other stories that were great at the meet. And you're a longtime racing writer, so I think, like me, you appreciate the stories as well as the performances on the racetrack. John Velasquez getting career victory number 1,000 at Saratoga, his 1,000 Saratoga victory. And the win for her dad, Jackie Davis, who I had in here about a week and a half or a couple weeks ago, for local owners, that was kind of special, too. You could see how happy Robbie Davis was. But the local owners and Jackie came back, and there was nice applause. And that's always fun, those kind of stories.
I mean, it was her first win ever here at Saratoga. Robbie, it was his second win here. First one was in 2013. And, you know, I went over and saw Robbie the day after. And he's only got, like, 3 horses here. But, you know, it was you would have thought he had the Travers winner over there with everyone that was coming over to wish him well and all of that. But that was a feel-good story, you know, especially the ownership group. And, I mean, it looked like the whole town of Saratoga was in the winner's circle that day when Valhulla won. Valhulla?
Valhulla.
Valhulla,
yeah.
Because she was, I guess she was born on, I'm going to say Valentine's Day, something like that. And they said Hallelujah and Val to put the Valentine's Day in there. But with Johnny V, you know, the thing that I've always respected about him, he doesn't care about the numbers.
He said that in the winner's circle.
Yeah. I mean, because when Angel Cordero was his agent, and Angel was the most fierce competitor that this place has ever seen, you know, he would fight you tooth and nail for every win, and every win meant something to Angel. But Johnny's like, I win these. He's there for the competition. He's there for to win races, you know. But he's not a numbers guy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool.
Yeah. He said in the winner's circle, it was a couple of years ago, his wife was looking up and said, "Oh, you're getting close. Let's go for that." And he said, "What are you talking about? Maybe I'll retire some." No, you got to stick around.
Oh yeah, so, his wife gave him the Leona what for that. She said, "Oh no, we got to get that number." And you know, eventually, one day Johnny's going to sit down and look at everything he's accomplished.
Yeah.
And you know, that's when he'll. But as long as he's competing, he's not going to be a guy that looks at those numbers and, like, you know, and say, "Wow, I got this, and I got that, and I've won these titles," you know. But he's just a class act. He always has been, and you know, hats off to him.
Yeah, no, as I say, there were a number of the nice stories of horse side and human side at the meet. That's what Saratoga is about every year. I think early on, we've talked about it because it's been so nice for the last few days. Early on, the weather was a little bit of a story with the heat and humidity. Although, with the lack of rain, that was good for the meet with the turf racing holding up. So overall, I'm looking at this meet. Great performances on the track, the humans and the horses. The weather's held up. 2022 at Saratoga. I'm giving
got to give it a huge thumbs up. I mean, it's. From what I'm hearing from the weather people, though, Monday night might not be such a great day. Maybe we're going to have to pay for it in one fell swoop. But every day at Saratoga is a better day than any place else.
Yeah.
So, you know, it has been phenomenal weather. You know, I'll take the heat over the rain any day.
Yeah, I know. I'm right with you. Yeah, no question about it.
And we'll want that heat in the middle of January, yeah. Believe you me.
Yeah, you're exactly right there. Tim, appreciate the visit, and as a Saturday guest, and also I'm showing some appreciation because you helped us get Eric Reed over here. You also helped us get Dwayne Lucas over here, and that was a nice get. That was fun to have the coach over here a little bit. But as a Saturday guest, gift card to Pinnell, so go enjoy dinner at Pinnell's on us, and we appreciate the visit this morning.
Seth, thank you. I will enjoy this dinner at Pinnell's. Well, the best place in Saratoga, free plug for Pinnell's. If you've never been there, go.
Bruce, of course, a horse racing guy himself. He was in a little piece of Tis the Law.
Yeah, he's still involved with Saratoga, and he makes the best tomato sauce in Saratoga Springs.
Lasagna, too. And a lot of people rave about the steak. I'm a lasagna guy over there, but the steak,
I've heard that, too. I've never had the steak. Maybe this time.
Well, there you go. Tim, again, appreciate the visit. Appreciate the help, as I say, with Lucas and Reed and beyond. And appreciate the work you've been doing for the Blood Horse and Horse Racing Nation. And we'll take a look, follow you as well down at Kentucky Downs next week. So appreciate
Thanks.
The visit this morning.
Thank you, Seth. You do a great job as always.
Appreciate it. All right, Tim Wilkin. We'll wrap it up, as I say, a little bit early today because just a few minutes, the NYRA pregame show will launch on an early day here at Saratoga. 12:05 post time today. So the NYRA pregame show will kick off in about 5 minutes. So we'll wrap it up. Don't forget, 12:05 today, but tomorrow and Monday, 12:35. So a little bit early also on Sunday and Monday. Enjoy the racing today. Come on up and enjoy it here. If you can't come up here, go down to the Clubhouse Racebook or watch us here on the network for the day and enjoy that way. And don't forget Pacific Classic tonight, about 8:45, 8:50 right here on the network as well for Flightline. So it should be a lot of fun. As far as the programming, the morning programming, back in tomorrow. 9 a.m. for the handicapper support, 10 a.m. for Loose on the Lead. We'll see you then.
The lineup, they're all set now for the Juvenile Fillies Turf. 14 of them across the track. Wheels set on their way. And of the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Broke KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane, stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there, hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run, still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop jumping there we go. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
You're watching OTP.